A game of questions. Read. Lou's fingertips skimmed my leg in time with the other's rhythmic breathing. With each inhale, she walked them upward. With each exhale, she turned her wrist, trailing downward with the back of her hand. Wind whistled through the cracks in the sanctuary, raising goose flesh on my arms. I sat rigid beneath her touch, heart pounding in my throat at the subtle friction. Tense, waiting. Sure enough, those fingers gradually crept up, up, up my thigh in slow seduction. But I caught her wrist, slid my hand to cover hers, to pin it in place. A foreign emotion congealed in my blood as I stared at her hand beneath mine. I should have ached, should have tightened with that familiar hunger, that heat, then left me almost fevered when we touched. But this knot in my stomach, it wasn't need. It was something else, something wrong. While the others had prepared for bed a half hour ago, a general sense of dread had enveloped me. That dread had only intensified when Beau, the last awake, had finally drifted to sleep, leaving Lou and me alone. Clearing my throat, I squeezed her fingers, forced a smile, brushed a kiss against her palm. We have an early morning. We'll need to leave Fay Tombe after we free the Cauchemar. It'll be another long few days on the road. It sounded like an excuse. It was one. A low noise reverberated from her throat. She hadn't worn her ribbon since we left Césarine. My gaze dropped to her scar, healing yet still puckered, angry. She stroked it with her free hand.
How does one free a Cauchemar?
Maybe we can reason with it, convince it to return to the forest.
And if we can't?
I sighed. We can only warn it about the mob. We can't force it to do anything.
And if it decides to eat the mob, if our warning allows it the chance to do so?
It won't, I said firmly. She considered me with a half smile.
You've developed quite an affinity for us, haven't you?
Her grin spread.
Monsters.
I pressed a kiss to her forehead, ignored the unfamiliar scent of her skin. Sleep, Lou.
I'm not tired,
she purred, her eyes too bright in the darkness, too pale.
We slept all day.
When her hand crept up my chest once more, I caught it, lacing my fingers through her own. She misinterpreted the movement, mistook it for an invitation. Before I could blink, she'd hoisted her knee across my lap to straddle me, lifting her hands awkwardly above our heads. When she arched her lower back, pressing her chest into mine, my stomach dropped like a stone. Shit! I fought to keep my gaze impassive. Of course she wanted to touch me. Why wouldn't she? Less than a month ago, I'd craved her like an addict. The subtle curve of her hip, the thick wave of her hair, the impish gleam in her eyes. I'd been unable to keep from pawing at her every moment of the day. The presence of my own mother hadn't stopped me. Even then, however, it had been so much more than physical. From the very start, Lou had woken me up. Her presence had been infectious, even infuriated, exasperated. I'd never stopped wanting to be near her. Now I glanced at Beau, at Coco, at Celie, praying one of them would stir, hoping they'd open their eyes and interrupt, but they didn't wake. They slept on, heedless of my inner struggle. I loved Lou. I knew that. I felt it in my bones. I also couldn't stand the sight of her. What was wrong with me? Anger cracked open as she moved her lips against my ear, nibbling the lobe. Too many teeth, too much tongue. Another wave of revulsion swept through me. Why? Was it because she was still mourning? Because I was? Because she'd attacked her supper like a rabid animal? Because she'd only blinked twice in the past hour? I mentally shook myself, irritated with Beau,
With myself, she'd been stranger than usual, yes, but that didn't justify the way my skin crawled when she touched me. Worse still, these thoughts, this looming dread, this unsettling aversion, they felt like a betrayal. Lou deserved better than this. Swallowing hard, I turned to meet her lips. She kissed me back enthusiastically, without hesitation, and my guilt only deepened. She didn't seem to sense my reluctance, however. She pressed closer instead, rocked her hips against mine, clumsy, eager. When she again dropped her mouth to my throat, sucking at my rapid pulse, I shook my head in defeat. It was no good. My hands descended on her shoulders. "We need to talk." The words came of their own volition. She blinked in surprise, and what looked like insecurity flickered in her pale eyes. I hated myself for it. I'd seen Lou insecure approximately twice in our entire relationship, and neither instance had boded well for us. It vanished as quickly as it had come, however, replaced by a wicked gleam. "That involves tongues, yes?" Gently, firmly, I slid her from my lap. "No, it doesn't."
"Are you sure?"
Crooning, she leaned into me seductively. Or at least that was her intent. But the movement lacked her usual finesse. I leaned back, studying her overbright eyes, her flushed cheeks. "Is something wrong?" "Tell me what it is. I'll fix it."
"You tell me."
Again, her hands sought my chest. I seized them with tightly leashed frustration, squeezing her icy fingers in warning. "Talk to me, Lou."
"What would you like to talk about?"
"Darling husband." I took a deep breath, still watching her closely. "Ansel." His name fell between us like a carcass, heavy, dead.
"Ansel."
She tugged her hands away with a frown. Her eyes grew distant, shuddered. She stared at a spot just over my shoulder, her pupils expanding and contracting in tiny, nearly imperceptible movements.
"You want to talk about Ansel?"
"Yes."
"No,"
she said flatly.
"I want to talk about you."
My own eyes narrowed. "I don't." She didn't respond right away, still staring intently as if searching for... what? The right words? Lou had never cared for the right words before. Indeed, she reveled in saying the wrong ones. If I was honest with myself, I reveled in hearing them.
"Let's have another game of questions, then," she said abruptly.
"What?"
"Like in the patisserie."
She nodded quickly, almost to herself, before facing me at last. She tilted her head.
"You didn't eat your sticky bun."
I blinked at her. "What?"
"Your sticky bun. You didn't eat it."
"Yes, I heard you. I just..." Shaking my head, I tried again, bewildered. "I don't have your sweet tooth."
"Hmm."
She licked her lips salaciously. When her arm snaked behind me along the pew, I resisted the urge to lean forward. When her fingers threaded through my hair, however, I couldn't resist. She followed like a plague.
"Venison is delicious, too. Salty, tender. At least," she added with a knowing smile, "if you eat it directly."
I stared at her in confusion. Then horror. She meant if you ate it raw.
"Otherwise, rigor mortis toughens the meat. You have to hang the animal for a fortnight to break down the connective tissue. Makes it hard to avoid the flies, of course."
"When the hell have you eaten raw deer?" I asked incredulously. Her eyes seemed to glow at the expletive, and she hummed with excitement, leaning toward me.
"You should try it. You might like it."
Then,
"But I suppose a huntsman would have no need to skin a deer in his ivory tower. Tell me, have you ever suffered hunger?"
"Yes."
"Real hunger, I mean. Have you ever suffered cold? The kind that freezes your insides and leaves you like ice?"
Despite the hostility of her words, her voice held no contempt, only curiosity, genuine curiosity.
She rocked back and forth, unable to keep still as she watched me. I glared back at her.
You know I have.
She cocked her head. Do I?
After pursing her lips, she nodded once more.
I do. Yes, of course. The hollow. Dreadfully cold, wasn't it?
Her index and middle fingers walked up my leg.
And you're hungry even now, aren't you?
She giggled when I returned her hand to her lap.
What?
I cleared my throat.
Is your next question?
I could humor her. I could play this game if it meant breaking through to her, if it meant unraveling what had changed in her. I would sit here all night. I would help her. I would. Because if this truly was grief, she needed to talk about it. We needed to talk about it. Another stab of guilt shot through me when I glanced down at her hands. She'd clasped them together, tightly. I should have been holding those hands. I couldn't force myself to do it.
Ooh, questions, questions.
She brought her interlaced knuckles to her lips, musing.
If you could be anyone else, who'd you be?
Another grin.
Whose skin would you wear?
I glanced at Beau without thinking. She didn't miss the movement.
I wouldn't want to be anyone else.
I don't believe you.
Defensive, I asked. Who would you be? She lowered her hands to her chest. With her fingers still laced together, she could have been praying. Except for the calculated gleam in her eyes, her fiendish smile.
I can be whoever I want to be.
I cleared my throat, fought to ignore the hair lifting on my neck.
Lost? How do you know about Kushmars? I've studied the occult my entire life, and I've never heard of such a creature.
You've extinguished the occult. I've lived with it.
She cocked her head. The movement sent a fresh shiver down my spine.
I am it. We learn more in the shadows than we ever do in the sun.
When I didn't answer, she asked abruptly, simply,
How would you choose to die?
Ah. I eyed her knowingly. Here we go. If I could choose, I suppose I'd want to die of old age. Fat and happy, surrounded by loved ones.
You wouldn't choose to die in battle?
A startled breath, a sickening thud, a scarlet halo. I pushed my last memory of Ansel aside, looking her squarely in the eye. I wouldn't choose that death for anyone, not even myself, not anymore.
He chose it.
Though my heart twisted, though even his name brought uncomfortable pressure to my eyes, I inclined my head.
He did. And I'll honor him for it every day of my life. That he chose to help you, to fight with you, that he chose to face Morgan with you. He was the best of us.
Her smile finally slipped, and I reached out to grip her hand. Despite its icy temperature, I didn't let go.
But you shouldn't feel guilty. Ansel made the decision for himself, not for you or for me, but for him.
Now, I said firmly before she could interrupt, it's your turn. Answer the question. Her face remained inscrutable, blank.
I don't want to die.
I rubbed her frigid hand between my own, trying to warm it.
I know, but if you had to choose, I would choose not to die, she said.
Everyone dies, Lou,
I said, gently. She leaned closer at my expression, running her hand up my chest. In my ear, she whispered,
Says who? Read.
She cupped my cheek, and for just a second I lost myself in her voice. If I closed my eyes, I could pretend a different Lou held me this way. I could pretend this icy touch belonged to another. To a foul-mouthed thief, a heathen, a witch. I could pretend her breath smelled of cinnamon and her hair flowed long and brown down her shoulders. Could pretend this was all part of an elaborate joke, an inappropriate joke. She would have laughed and flicked my nose at this point, told me I needed to loosen up. Instead,
Her lips hovered over mine.
Who says we have to die?
Swallowing hard, I opened my eyes, and the spell broke.